Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So in a mock draft, we got Kiper and McShay taking, they went back-to-back in rounds, and Kiper took Devin Bush in round one, which I thought was kind of interesting because all the talk is on Devin White. I assume Devin White was gone. And yeah, then
they have him going number five, Tampa Bay.
Okay, which by the way,
seems to be the growing consensus.
Yeah. Let me just say, if Devin White's there, I was kind of watching. You know, there's this path to the draft sort of thing. It's really cool. It's behind the scenes with McSorley from Penn State, Devin White, N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf, and I want to say there's one more guy.
Marquise Brown, Oklahoma.
Is it Marquise Brown?
Yeah.
Okay. I just find all this stuff so interesting. And these, you know, the training just for the combine is such a big deal, right? And you got to go get to your specialized performance coaching guy, and you just got to train up for this stuff. And some of these guys, like, ran their fastest 40s ever.
That's how you want to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
I went to the combine and it was terrible.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I think the moment was just too big for me. And then they used to do what they called Cybex testing. They did it the night before my 40, and I just did not recover in time to run the 40.
What is Cybex testing? What is it?
It was like some lower body strength testing they did to, I guess, predict possible knee injuries in the future. And they strapped you to these Cybex machines, which measured your output not just one direction, but you had to go both directions. And it just wore me out. It just literally wore me out. I did not have a lot in my legs for the 40.
Why would they do that?
483.
It's science.
I'm sorry, what?
483.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now I ran 4.59.
When?
As a junior, when they used to have junior days where they would come out and time all the upcoming seniors, I ran 4.59 before my senior year. Then in my pro days, I ran 4.6s. So, but at the combine, 4.83.
How did you feel?
I was crushed.
I bet.
It was really difficult to keep my mind to the rest of the workout, but there was still lots of stuff to go.
Holy cow.
I did do my personal best.
Wait, did you get to run it twice?
I ran 4.87. Because I decided...
Oh, my God. You must have been a mess.
Rather than running smoother and cleaner, I ran harder. And I tensed up. And I'm going to run as fast as I can. Let me be clear. That does not work.
Did you train specifically for the combine or not?
I was aware. I did all the drills. I practiced the drills, but it was nowhere near.
You didn't go to Arizona or Texas. Well, you didn't.
They didn't do any of that back then.
So where were you training?
I trained up at CU with the CU strength coaches, and Peter Schaefer, my agent, God bless him, who's now hired professional trainers, had me work out with his old lacrosse coach.
Oh, dear. I'm not doing you any favors on that one. Did you, were you still going to school?
Yeah.
You were still going to classes. Like, you didn't stop going to classes.
No.
Wow. Okay. It's a little different now.
It's a lot different now.
I mean, these kids, all wherever they are academically, they stop.
Yep.
And period.
They move to some other city, and they room with other players, and they prepare for the combine for 6 hours a day, and they put them through Wonderlic testing and interview classes. It's amazing that kids still find a way to fail with all the help they get now.
So if you see somebody who is participating in the combine, they have a bad combine. Holy cow. I mean, that is a gargantuan red flag.
Yes, these kids are as polished and prepared for this moment as anyone could possibly be. They spent 2 months preparing for one day. One day's events.
So you could make the argument that if you succeed or even go higher and succeed, you can see why you'd be emotional.
Yeah.
Because there's probably, to a certain degree, more pressure. Because everybody knows now how to kind of train up for the combine. So you know, tide raises the boats, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, so for DK Metcalf to cry in that clip they keep showing,
I get it,
on ESPN. Yeah, you run your 4.3. Hey, Mom, your son just made $20 million.
Big moment.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just him. Like, Devin White was crying, too, by the way, on this show. He was, because he ran, like, Devin White ran the fastest 40 for, like, any inside linebacker ever. Something like that. Because I think he ran, like, a 4.5 flat or something like that. And something
4.43 for Devin Bush.
Oh, Devin Bush or Devin White?
Devin Bush, 4.43 at the combine.
Oh, so I get that wrong? I thought Devin White ran the fastest one. Okay. So Devin Bush, Devin White, they're both there.
Yeah, they're both fast.
Under 4.5, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Four four two for Devin White. What was Devin Bush? 4.43? 4.42 for an inside linebacker.
Rolling.
And Bush was a 4.44.
Okay.
So White did, by a slim margin, run faster. So I did get that right.
You did
get
right.
That right. Okay. And you ran of what?
4.83 and 4.87.
He must have. Oh, wow. Well, you should have gone in the first round, shouldn't you?
If I would have ran 4.6, I would have.
You would have been in the first round.
Yeah.
Even though you ran better at your pro day.
Yeah.
So the combine does matter, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does.
It is a big deal.
And I didn't bench press either because I broke my hand. So, you know, it was not the best combine for me at all. Good thing I had tape to watch.
All right, when we come back, we'll preview what the Avs have coming up tonight. Look back on that Nuggets performance. Not good. The Rockies got it going on. It's a spectacular weekend here in the state of Colorado. We'll get there next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hold on, Johnny. Come here. Here, turn the mic on for Johnny here, Richie, real quick. Our man, Johnny Hart. He does a great... Johnny's an amazing writer and writes all of the articles on 104.3thefan.com, but I understand there's something a little bit different, Johnny. Is that right?
Yeah, I wrote my first column. Today for the website.
And what's it about?
My experience growing up in a post-Columbine world.
So you were 11 years old when Columbine happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like for you?
It was,
you were a kid growing up in the Columbine era, as opposed to us who are adults.
Yeah, so I mean, basically my generation was, like I said off air, the guinea pigs for, you know, lockdowns. We were the first ones to really experience that. And our generation was the first one to grow up in that post-Columbine world. So I thought I had a pretty unique perspective. But.
And that's at 104.3thefan.com?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I'm interested in checking this out. I mean, obviously, as D-Max said, I was an adult, and I can only look at it through my eyes. But to read your story, I'm looking forward to seeing what the 11-year-olds and these kids this generation, what does that mean to them? What kind of fear does it put into you?
Well, obviously, this was a tricky week this week with the nut job that came here to Colorado and forced lockdowns and a day off for school for more than 500,000 kids, including my own. And my kid, I was all emotional. I don't know. I was kind of a wreck this week. I don't know why, but I was. And my son came into our room, who's 16 years old, and said, yeah, Mom and Dad, I really wasn't that bothered by it because this is just the world I've grown up in. I don't know any different.
Which is crazy.
Which, of course, made me, like, more emotional. It didn't really make me feel better. Because I just don't think, you know, any kid especially should have to worry about that going to school. So I look forward to reading it, Johnny, and I encourage people to go check it out at 104.3thefan.com.
Thank you.
Going to the Rockies?
I am.
What are they going to do?
They're going to play the Phillies.
Against Bryce Harper?
Yep.
Are they going to win again?
They're going to play the Phillies.
All right. See you, Johnny. Thank you.
Have a good weekend, Johnny.
See ya.
Tonight it's on. Tonight it's on.
That is Scott McKinnon. As McCarr jumps in, moves it and shoots it. Cale Makar, welcome to the National Hockey League. His mom and dad are here. It's the first period of his first game in the NHL, and he scores in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Amazing.
Chad, it's been so much fun watching these Avalanche. And
no doubt about it.
And by the way, what a beautiful day today, right? I mean, gorgeous, sunny, Warm, the whole thing just spectacular. The scene around Pepsi Center is awesome. I mean, it's like you get to tailgate for hockey, right?
How great is that?
It's kind of great.
It's awesome.
So that's, you know, you can wear shorts and, you know, have a barbecue going on and, you know, whatever. You can tailgate for hockey. It's a blast. We just have not had this many opportunities on the verge of eliminating a number one seeded team. Whew! Like the energy just... All right, let me ask you this. How do you handle that sort of energy when you think that you should be winning something and you feel like you're better and, you know, just everything is coursing through your veins? How do you control that to kind of stay in control and not actually get too kind of hyped up?
You're talking about the Flames or are you talking about the Avs?
No, the Flames, I know where the Flames come from.
Okay.
The Flames come from total desperation. Either you got it in your character or you don't. Like, finding ways to amp up to that or collapse is, I think, pretty obvious. You know, I think you just got it or you don't at that point. I'm talking more like you're on defense. It's the fourth quarter. You're up by four with 3.5 minutes to go. The balls, the team's got the ball on the 35, you know, their own 35-yard line. You should win this game, right?
Right.
Right. How do you control that adrenaline? What does your mindset need to be as an athlete?
You can't press too hard. You can't just do your job. Do it at a high level, do it really well, but do your job. If you're trying to make superhuman plays, you're going to make mistakes. You're trying to help your teammate, now you're going to, you know, mess up your job. So just do your job, but at a very, very high level. And I know it seems, you know, overly simplistic, but that's what it really is. If you allow yourself emotionally to get too far out of whack, you'll be out of whack. And for the listeners who play golf, when you line up and say, I'm about to kill this shot, what happens?
Right.
What happens?
When you're gritting your teeth, I got to run faster.
Yes, it does not work. So just
find that
relax.
Place.
You're amped up, you're charged up, but you're comfortable because you've been here before, you know what to do. Just go out and do your job.
Do your job and quit making up!
Exactly.
Thank you, Josh.
Because as soon as you say, oh, I'm about to kill this shot, you know you're going to be out of bounds, you're going to be in the bunker in the lake.
Right.
Yeah. That's how it works. You can't pre-decide how
you know what's funny?
It's going to happen.
In football, though, it's kind of crazy. Because in football, it's always a, you know, this is it. It's always game seven in football.
Yeah. So you're constantly having this. The game is going to have a roller coaster of emotions, but your job is to somehow stay even in all that. Because you get too high, yeah, then you're going to try to kill it and you'll be in the bunker. You get too low, you're not going to approach the next play with proper focus and energy.
Then again, I got to guess. Putting a team down. Early on, you can get them down probably a little quicker than usual and probably emotionally just wreck them. You know, so there's you just take their heart and soul away.
If they're a team that hasn't played well, coaches are going to talk all week. Let's make sure we don't give these guys any life.
Yeah.
Because then we got a ball game on our hands. But if we show them what they've seen the last 6 weeks and they've lost five of the last six games, then it's super easy.
Right. Like if the Avs get up by two goals,
it's over.
I think so.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, the other team can't help but begin to look at and not just look at the next play, but look back over the last couple of games.
I would say at 2-0, it's almost over. And then if you make it 3-0, it's done.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, because now you're up 21-0 in football terms.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't care because now, goal goes in, whatever, who cares. But that 2-0, oh, it's 2-1, you're still in it, that sort of thing. 2-0, you press. You push it to the... And that is exactly what happened the other night. And when they got up 3-0, I was just like, this is over. This is a wrap. And the Avs are... And people are freaking out. Don't jinx the Avs, this sort of thing. But, So tonight, wow, what a night down in Lodo. With the Rockies taking on the first-place Phillies with Bryce Harper on a spectacular night. Hopefully Charlie Blackmon doesn't look like he's, you know, 92 years old. I'm not exactly sure. He's in a walker. Hopefully he looks better. And then later tonight, you just walk, you know, stumble, whatever, over to the Pepsi Center, and you watch the Avs beat the Flames, and you have a perfect Colorado night.
And for you, man, new chapter on Monday. How about that, homeboy?
2 months. I don't know if I could consider somebody a better friend than you've been to me. And I thank you for that.
Well, I didn't say that so you could say nice words to me. I'm just, you know, it's a new chapter for you, man. Enjoy it.
Snake man. In my heart forever.
My buddy D-Mac.
Richie, my man. Have a great weekend. The Drive Reloaded is next. Come on, Joe.